dem Tchila, mein Schaumer, das Alba, mein Schraube, mit Tchila, alle bemachschafte, livre es eile, mit Midas Adin. Okay, now, in the last shiur, which was a double shiur, we read the first page and the first four lines of the second page. In that page and four lines, we had two sets of questions. Now, I'm re-emphasizing this because I think it's very helpful and very organizing to appreciate this. The way, again, as I explained it to you in the first chair that I gave you, the way a hemshech is constructed, and the truth of the matter is that's really the way a maimed is constructed, and Mekalah Pilpul has that order. The questions you ask first are answered last. The questions you ask second are answered second to the last. So even though this hemshech does not answer these questions, in other words, this hemshech does not fully finish, you can imagine that the last in Yonim in the hemshech would have been about the question of how come you don't blow shofar Rosh Hashanah when it's Shabbos, and yet in the Beis Hamikdash you do. And the second to the last issue would have been Beklal, what's Rosh Hashanah, that in Chumash it's called Mikra Kedish, in Allah it's called Yom HaDin, and you have to find a remez from Bereshis Hashanah Ad Achir Hashanah. You have to quote the pasuk from Tilim, Tikkun B'Chedesh, Ki Chaykli Yisrael Hu Mishpat L'Lekei Yankiv, Ezerai Yad Hashanah Is Din. So, in other words, it's healthy to keep structure. So if you were learning this, Hemshech, the way you do it, you learn the first set of questions, okay, I'm going to put them on the shelf. I'll get back to the Mitzvah and the Taita Kumin. And of course, when you would get back to these questions, you would go again and relearn the questions. Because in all likelihood, the Hemshech, which is 100 pages long, you've had a chance to forget the questions. So you go back and you revisit those questions. And that's how the Hemshech would be structured. So we're now really shifting gears for the third time. We started with one topic. We went on to a related topic. We started off with Yom Tov Shem Shalom for Shabbos. We went on to the question about whether Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin or not. And now we're going on to the third topic. Now, huh? Which one? Right, but that's, it's first of all, you're right. But I would say that it goes into the same category as the last set of questions, because it's the same basic idea. What's the pnimius, the theme of Rosh Hashanah? First question about Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos. The second set of questions, even though your point is well taken, you could split it into three. I would say that the issue that the Rebbe is trying to address is, tell me what Rosh Hashanah is. How come we don't make it on the birthday of creation? Make it on the birthday of man. How come the Torah doesn't call it Yom HaDin if that's what the Halacha calls it? Okay, now, from the point of view of our Maskil, right, if we would be Maskilim, we would say, the Hemshech begins here. That's a terrible thing to say, because that's saying that the first page and four lines are waste, and there's no such thing as a waste in Torah. But nevertheless, from a perspective of philosophy, the meat and potatoes of the Hemshech start here. Some would even tell you that the meat and the potatoes of the Hemshech doesn't start until page Yud Ches, which I'll get to in a moment. But, so to speak, now we're getting into the issue at hand. We're going to learn for about the next 80 pages a pshat in a medrash. There's a medrash, which is, I don't know, two or three lines. And on this medrash, there's another medrash, which provides us with a mashal. And the entire maimed is going to explain this medrash. Okay, now what I want to do right now is the following. If you have a pen, this may be very useful for you. I'm going to basically tell you the structure of the Hemshech. What's going to be transpiring between now and when we finish, okay? First of all, what is the medrash that our Hemshech is going to be about? Our medrash is going to address the question that in the beginning of the Chumash, it says, Bereshis Baro Lakim Es HaShemayim Ves HaAretz. In the beginning, Elakim created heaven and earth. And I would imagine that you've heard the expression, Lamed Beis Pa'amim Ne'mar Elakim B'mayse Bereshis. If you look in Chumash, from the beginning until the end of Vayechulu, Hashem is only referred to as Elakim. There's no other name of God mentioned. And in the second parsha, Eile Tel Deis HaShemayim V'aretz B'Yivarim, Kapitel Beis in Bereshis, it says, B'yeim Asois Havaya Elakim Eretz Vishman. It's the first time the name Havaya appears in the Torah is in Kapitel Beis. So in the entire Kapitel Aleph, from Bereshit till the end of Ayachulu, when you have Ayemid Elakim Yeir, Yad Elakim Kitev, and so on, there's never an allusion, a reference to Hashem other than the use of Shem Elakim. Beginning with Perek Beis, that's when you have Shem Havaya. Now let me digress, and I'm going to say something which maybe Mashbir is not allowed to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Because I think you should hear it. So when you go on Mitzrayim and some nut job raises the issue, at least for yourself, you'll know the answer. There are people that call themselves Bible students. They study the Bible. And this is a whole klipa in universities, like every other stupidity that's going on. And one of the things that they say is that the Bible has multiple authors. Many different people wrote the Tanakh. And there are proofs for this. And they're pretty credible. You read them, it's impressive. One of the proofs is that if you look in Torah, you see that different sections of Torah refer to Hashem by different names. So it was written by different people. One guy called God Elohim. Another guy called God Avayah. Another guy called God's voice. And they cut it and paste it and they put it all together and they made a Bible. The Shtus Shebedavid, however, is the reason that's so ridiculous. It's because when you learn Kabbalah, see, this you don't have from Migdal. When you learn Kabbalah, and you learn the meanings of the Shemus, the names of Hashem, you realize why different names of David should I use. I mean, to give you the broadest example, you'll find that the greater Nevi'im called Hashem by the name Havayah, and the lesser Nevi'im from the Medrash of Beit Chalamo called Hashem by the name Tzvois. It's not two gods. It's related to Hashem on a higher level. Moshe Rabbeinu called the Eibishter Havayah. The Nevi'im, after Chana, the Nevi'im Achreinim, called the Eibishter Havayah Tzvois, or Elikim Tzvois, because they were on a lower level. It's not the Peshat of more than one God, Chas V'Shalom. It's just the level, the measure of directness of the access to Nidah and the Eibishter. So if you go on Mitzrayim, and some clown tells you that the Bible is written by many people, he doesn't know what he's talking about. The fact that different names, this is one of their big proofs. They have other proofs also. But one of their proofs that the Bible has multiple authors is that the variations in the uses of the Eibishter's names. That's one of the fundamental purposes of Chokhmas HaKabbalah, which when you learn Chassidus, you learn to explain why different names of the Eibishter that are used in different circumstances, Chas V'Shalom, to construe that as being multiple authors, or even worse than that, multiple gods, Chas V'Shalom, God's a big holy this year. It's the Pshat, there's different, like the Lashon of the Medrash, Shimai Sayanim Nikra, the Eibishter is known by his actions. So what Eibishter is doing, an act of Rachman is called Havaya, what is doing an act of Chesed is called Kael, and he's doing an act of Mulchama, he's called Tzvois. If I state, it's an important thing just to keep in mind. But Chalef, in this Medrash is asking this question. How come the Torah begins with referring to Hashem as Bereshit Bara Elokim, and a whole bunch of Pesukim, Lamed Beis, 32 times you have the name Elokim before the name Havaya ever appears, and all of a sudden, Eilu tells us Shmai Vodas Bivadim, in Kapitel Beis of Bereshit, V'yema says Havaya Elokim. What happened over here, right? So of course, you all went to Cheder, but in Cheder in Bereshit you don't learn Rashi. Rashi asks the question. Rashi and Chumash brings down this Medrash. And it's mentioned in Tanya also. Why does it say in the beginning of creation, Elokim, and afterwards it's Havaya Elokim? So the Medrash answers. When Hashem created the world, Bara es ha'olam b'midas ha'div, he created the world with judgment. He saw that the world is just not going to make it. Shitef imei midas ha'rachm. So he mixed into the creation rachm. That's why when it says in the beginning of the Torah, Bereshit Bara Elokim, what does it mean? The original plan was that the whole creation would relate to Hashem through the name of Elohim alone. But after the creation was completed, and the Eibishter saw Kvayot, and the Eina Elam Mifkayim, so then he added Midas Arachim. Now, so if you wanted to play hardball, you would say to me, the Eibishter doesn't know the future. So he couldn't figure out beforehand that the Eina Elam Mifkayim. It's a good question. There's answers to that question too. But the point is, the reason in the beginning, it always says Shem Elohim, is because the Eibishter wants to create the world with Sadin. The reason later is that Shem Havaya, because he added Rachim. Okay. But really, it's not after the creation; it's after the machshava for creation. The original machshava was Elokim. Before creation, already he anticipated. In effect, I know you're asking me another question. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know the answer to that question. I'm a dynamist. I'm telling you, I don't know. Now, so what's going to be the structure of our hemshah? Basically, two things. First, the Hemshach is going to explain to you what happens if the Eibishter would create a world made of Elokim. What would happen? What kind of world would you have if the world could only from Elokim? And then the Maharal is going to explain to you, and now what's happening that the Eibishter changed his mind and is created a world made of Havaya. Where does this begin? The third Maimon. Shuvah Yisrael, the third Maimon of this Hemshach is going to finally get to the question of what would happen if the Eibishter created a world made of Elokim alone. And you're going to have three maimonim on the topic. Shuvah Yisrael. You can write this down. I'm not just talking into the wind. Shuvah Yisrael and the Lulav Arava, the Sukkos Maimon. And B'yem Mishmei says, three maimonim that are going to explain to you what would happen if the world was created only with Elokim. And there are two different Hezbeim. Two different Hezbeim altogether. B'yem Mishmei Natzeres. Shabbos Tshuva, Sukkos Mishmei Natzeres. But there's two different Hezbeim. The maimon of Shuvah Yisrael is going to say, if the Eibishter created a world only with Gevurah, only with Elokim, we'd all have to be in a constant state of Mesiris Nefesh. We have to be extreme, hysterical in our Vayitzeh Hashem, Meshuggah, Mesiris Nefesh. The next two Maimarim, Lulav Arava, Sukkos, and Be'e Mishmatel, saying if the Ebeshim was only Mikas Adin, Hashem would be so hidden, we'd forget about him altogether. So there's really two opposite Hezbeidim. There's two opposite ways of understanding what would happen if the Ebeshim make the world only with Elohim. One Hezbeid is only Elohim be a hysterical world, that would be Mishagayim and Seiris Nefesh. And the other Hezbeid is we would forget about him altogether. So that accounts for three of the eight Maimarim of this Hemshach. The third Maimar tells us that if the Ebeshim created the world only with Elohim, we'd have to all be Seiris Nefesh. The fourth and the fifth Maimar tell us that the Ebeshim created the world only with Shem Elohim, we wouldn't know Hashem at all. Okay, then comes the sixth Maimon, and by the way, the sixth Maimon is after the Yecholtzu, so you have to keep that in mind, you have to skip the Yecholtzu from page Nun Gimel to page Pei Dalet, or Pei Beis. And in that Maimon, David says, okay, now let's explain Shittas V'Midas HaRachman. Now that we explained what would have happened if David should create the world of Midas HaDin, let's explain Midas HaRachman. But like is typical of a Hemshech, he says, but I have to tell you something first. And in that Maimon, he goes further into Midas HaDin. Even though the Maimon of Bereshis begins with the words, Omayata, Tzaruch, Lohavan, Inyi, Midas HaRachman, the whole Maimon of Bereshis actually goes into deeper into Shem Elohim, even more into Shem Elohim. So again, the Maimon of Shuvah Yisrael would explain that the Eibishter created the world only with Elohim, would have to be Meisa Nefesh. And the next really two, and to be very honest, three Maimonim are explaining if Hashem created the world only with Elohim, we wouldn't know Hashem at all. And the Maimon of Bereshis starts off by saying, let me explain Midas HaRachman, but he goes back and he goes further into the Midas HaDin. So that accounts for really the fourth of the Maimonim. The last two Maimonim were the Hemshech explained Shitif Ime Midas HaRachman. What happened? The Eibush would hybrid Midas HaDin into Midas HaRachman. And there's going to be two Hezbeidim on two levels. There's going to be a deep Hezber and God a deep Hezber. The last two Maimonim of the Hemshech are going to give you two levels of what happens as a result of Shitif Ime Midas HaRachman. Lach Lecha, and then the last Maimon of Vayera, which begins with the Pasuk. The Maimon of Lecha is Pokala to Arifat Chekekeha, and the Maimon of Vayera is Lachol Tichla Rizikets. You could look it up, you have the book in front of you, I believe. Okay, so the last two Maimonim are going to explain Shitat Ibn Mitzvah Rachman. Again, as I'm telling you, it's going to explain it on two dimensions. Okay? So we've accounted for the Hemshech. Maimonim 3 is and 4 and 5, and I guess you could say 6, are going to explain what happens if the Ebeshech creates the world of Mitzvah Din. And 7 and 8 are going to explain Midas HaRachman. The thing to bear in mind is that it's actually different Hezbeidim. There's two Hezbeidim in Midas HaDin, and there's two levels to the Hezbeid of Shittif in Midas HaRachman. Now, first of all, is that clear? Does anyone have any questions or comments? Oh, very good. So I just skipped the first to my bottom. I just skipped what we're learning, right? We just, so to speak, bypassed what's relevant at the moment. And the answer is, this is really, I think it's rather unusual. This Maimed is explaining a Medrash, right? This Maimed is explaining a Medrash. What does the Medrash say? In the beginning, Hashem created the world with Midas HaDin, Reshis Bar Elokim, and then, quote, He changed His mind, and He created the world Midas HaRachmim, like it says, Havaya Elokim, yeah? But then to explain this Medrash, the Rebbe brought a Moshel from a different Medrash. The Moshel of glasses, right? A man has glasses, they're very thin and they're very fine, and he makes an interesting discovery. If he's going to put hot water into the glasses, they'll just crack. If he's going to put cold water into the glasses, they'll get dirty. In other words, the fluid, the substance he put into the glasses, if they're very cold, they're going to congeal, they're going to harden. Don't ask me to explain the biology of this, the physics of this. As they state in the Maimed, and the glasses are going to become permanently stained, and he wants these glasses to stay beautiful, so he mixes hot water with cold water. It's a moshel from a medrash. The medrash says, what's the moshel to illustrate? What would be Midas HaDin? Midas HaDin, I guess, would be, I don't know, hot water? What would be Midas HaRachmim? I don't know. I guess cold water? I don't know how that would work. So the Eibishter mixes together, the owner of the glasses, mixes together the hot water and the cold water, and Miskayim, now he's got the glasses, and they're filled with water, the glasses are not cracking, the glasses are not getting dirty. This is the Moshe Eva Page Base. Now, the problem with this Moshel is, it has nothing in common, or almost nothing in common, with Midas HaRachman and Midas HaDin, right? Now, you have to remember something, Rabbi said. People have a tendency not to take Midrashim very seriously. Yeah, it's a Medrash. Okay, the Medrash is a Moshel, so the Moshel doesn't make any sense. You know, there's a Ramban that the Apokurisim bring. The Ramban once had a debate with some people about Christianity. And the guys brought Midrashim to Christianity from Midrashim. So the Ramban said it's published in the Kisvei Ramban. Medrash, you don't have to take Medrash so seriously. It's only sermons. Said Miz, he writes said, huh? Whatever, same thing, yeah. It's just only rabbis have a drash. So I'll drop a course and say, you see what Medrash is? It's Baba Meister. But most Svarim bring down in the name of Benigay to this Ramban, that this was said, Vestach, just to get away from the Vikuach. It was dividing with Goyim. But the name is Medrash is Taylor. The fact that we don't understand Medrash doesn't mean Medrash doesn't make sense, that it means that Medrash is beyond our comprehension. Right? And everybody knows it says in Al-Tareb Shulchan Aruch, Hichastam HaTeire, Nigla. Al-Tareb says, Reiv, Seydes, HaTeire, Gnuzin, Ba'agodas. The secrets of Teire are found in the Agoda. Right? All the secrets of Teire are found in the Medrash. So you read a Medrash, you say, yeah, Medrash, it's Agadata. You know, yeshivas, they skip Agadatas. Seydes, HaTeire, Gnuzin, Ba'agodas. And one of the great functions of Chassidus is to show you the Oymek of a Medrash. So when you have a medrash, it gives a marshal to explain mitzvah mitzarachman, and the medrash ma'aseh mit koisus with glasses. The Rebbe spends two complete maimorim to explain the marshal of kois. In other words, what are the first maimorim of Hemshach Abad Binyamin? They're about the marshal of glasses. We don't get to the meat and potatoes until maimed gimel. I don't mean what I'm saying, but I'm saying this for effect. The meat and potatoes of this Hemshach is this question of mitzvah mitzarachman. Where do we first hear about this issue? Maimed Gimel, that's talking about Sadin. The first Maimorim of Chfani Pasha, the Moshel. The Medrash gives a Moshel from glasses. Says the Rebbe, let me tell you what the Moshel of glasses means. Okay? Does anybody want to say anything at this moment? Someone want me to clarify? Does anyone have any comments or questions before I continue? The second Maimed? The second Maimed is direct Hemshech to the first Maimed. The first two Maimorim are both an analysis of the metaphor of Kavos. The marshal of Kais, he spends too much time explaining Kais. Now, if you don't have any questions, I've got a question for you. What is the point that Eber is trying to make in explaining Kais? What is the point that Eber is trying to make in explaining Kais? Interesting. Very good. Basically, what he's saying is, Mitzvah Din Mitzvah Rachman is good, but where is the Mitzvah Din and Mitzvah Rachman manifesting? You got to have a world. Good point. Does anybody want to add anything else to that case, to that reference? So let's begin with this. There's a lot of different things we could say, but let's begin with this. What's the gematria of case? 86, right? 20 and 60 and 6 is 86, yeah? What's the gematria of Elikim? 86. Oh, it just got interesting, right? Case! It's a medrash! Case! So, yeah, it's only a medrash. This doesn't push it. Every word in the medrash is teda semis. If you don't understand the Medrash, it's not the Medrash's problem, it's yours. There's an allusion, there's a reference in Kais. Okay? But as I told some of you, I went around trying to share this with some of you, there's a very, very important reason that everyone wants to analyze the word Kais, and that is like this. When you put water into a glass, yeah, what's the function of the glass? What's the function of the glass? To hold, that's all. You want to take the water out of the glass, you have to come along, turn the glass and the water will exit, just like you put it in, take it out. The glass is entirely passive. Nobody's going to say to cups, thank you. Cups do nothing. They just sit. And they hold. That's all. So the Rebbe says, I want you to know, even though cups physically, gashmi as they could cups, hold, when the Medrash is using the Mashal of Kais to explain this process of B'tchil Olam Machshav Olivia Seh Lomidus Adin, and then Rosh Ayin Eilu Meskayim. Sheet, if he means an Achmim, he doesn't mean a physical cup. Physical cups are not a correct mushroom. It sounds like he's talking about a physical cup, but he doesn't mean a physical cup. He means what is called a metaphysical cup, a non-physical cup. What is the difference between a physical cup and a non-physical cup? The difference is, a non-physical cup is dead. Non-physical cups have nothing. They just sit there. You make them, and you break them. That's all. You put the water in, huh? What did I say? A non-physical, a physical cup. It's a piece of glass or metal or earthenware, whatever you're making your cup out of. It's of no life. It has no responses. In the Marshal of Kais, says the Rebbe, I'm going to spend two my modern explaining to you that the Marshal of Kais means a Ruch Nizika cup. And Ruch Nizika cup are very different than Gash Nizika cups. How are they different? So I'll say it. It's like an expression, a cliche. Because they talk back. When you put something into a Ruch Nizdika cup, it gives you something. It doesn't just stay. A Gash Nizdika cup is nothing. You fill it and it sits there. You empty it and it sits there again. It's immaterial. when the Medrash uses the Lashon of Kais, the Rebbe says, I have to explain to you what the Medrash means. How does the Rebbe explain what the Medrash means? So first he tells you that Kais is Gemat Yelakim, that thickens the plot a little, and then he brings it from Kabbalah, that Kais is a Sfira L'mayla, it's a mystical concept God. Kais is not a cup. When it says in the Medrash Kais, it means Yesod, the Nufa of Malchus HaRatzilus. What's the distinction between the physical cup and the Ruchnizdik cup? A physical cup is entirely passive. A Ruchnizdik cup, when you put something into a Ruchnizdik cup, it immediately processes. So the first two maimed, the first two maimed of this Hemshech are saying, not only are we going to explain the Medrash, it's important to understand the mashal of the Medrash and appreciate that a mashal of the Medrash is nitzdamah, that the Medrash was bored. The Medrash had nothing to do with itself. Yeah, let me throw in a mashal. A mashal of the Medrash is Teira. And you have to analyze the Medrash to its minutia. What is the minutia of this Medrash? That the cup we're talking about is not a glass. It's a person. It's a person. It's Malchus of Aksilus. It's the power of speech. It's the Koyach of Yashmiyayin, the power of having children through the earth, through women, or Caleb. A whole series of examples that we're going to have in the first Memorim. The basic endeavor of these two Memorim is to tell you, don't see the cup and the mussel as just something you put things in. It's ridiculous. And that has no sophistication, has no geschmack, no richness. So he's going to have a series of examples for what this cup is. The first example is going to be the relation between a husband and a wife. The husband is the stuff that's being poured into the cup, and the wife is the cup. She doesn't just take. She takes and she gives, right? Etal galem gemara, right? So you know what the gemara says, the difference between the stock of a man and the stock of a woman. Where's that gemara? Who knows? Who's on the man alum to us? Yeah? That a man brings home wheat. He can't eat wheat. Wheat has to be ground, and it has to be kneaded, and it has to be baked. So when the poor person comes to the man and asks him for something, gives him a dollar. The poor person comes to the woman, she gives him a piece of bread. From the Lashon. Adam koises chitim. Klum chitim koises. In other words, you harvest wheat, but can you eat it? You have to process it. This is the difference in the man and the woman. When the man brings home, in the olden times, in the world as it's supposed to be, wheat from the field, she has to process it. Right? Without her processing it, it cannot be eaten. Who says she a cup? She a kois? She's a makabo who becomes a mashpia. And to the contrary, her contribution is greater than his. From the Gemara Echet and Tainus. Yeah, that there was two people davening for rain, a husband and a wife. And the cloud came up on her side of the sky. They were sitting on the corners of the roof. And the cloud, why? Because he would give the aniyim money, and she would give the aniyim food. So she was makabo hanasan. She brought the hanah closer, right? So is a woman a makabo? No. Is she a kois? She's a makabo and a mashpia. So the whole point of the first two maimonim is that when we're doing this analysis, I've met my quota of sleepers. I've got a 20%, isn't it? That's it. That's enough of me. My ego only tolerates that many. You'll have to punch in. I don't mean you, Mr. Anyway, Yidden. Pick up your head, no?
What?
You have to complain to the chief. I'm serious. If you're not going to complain, it's sure not going to. If you're going to complain, it may not help either. But if you're not going to complain, it certainly won't help. Both. And more than once. I'm also confused. He wants coffee. I had coffee. I had coffee. Now, Rabbi Isaac. So again, the first to my modem of this Hemshech, before we even get to the Medrash itself, that's going to address the question of Mitzvah Dimitzvah Dachman, the Medrash is going to talk to us about the Rebbe is going to talk about the Moshel of Kos. His point is, don't imagine these cups as being physical cups. Physical cups are a bad metaphor. They say nothing. We mean metaphysical cups. Ruchnizdike cups. And a Ruchnizdike cup doesn't just take, it takes and it gives. Okay, so the first analogy is the relationship between a husband and a wife. The second analogy is going to be ideas and words. Right? If you want to write this down, the first analogy begins on page Gimel. And it's going to pick up again on page Tes, Yud and Yud Aleph. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. On page Tes, and then on Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. Tes, Yud Beis and Gimel. What you have here on page Gimel about the relationship between a husband and a wife is going to be followed up on the bottom of page Zayin, page Tes HaBisala, and then on Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. The second muscle is ideas and speech. That when you speak, you have to speak in words. But the words give you something that you didn't have before the words. There's a certain tendency that when you speak, new ideas pop into your head, and the Rebbe sees that as the words being a makabel. And when the words are makabel, they give you more. And then, which is going to go from the end of page Gimel to like page Vav at the bottom. Then from the bottom of page Vav, he's going to start talking about Eiris and Kalim, Lamaila, Atzilis, the light in the vessels. When the light goes into the vessel doesn't just take the light, it gives something back to the light. It's not passive. It's a ruch nivdik, it's a metaphysical. Kli takes and it gives. Okay? And finally, beginning on page Yud Gimel, till page Zayin, you have Gora Gishmak Emoshel. That the water being poured into the cup is Torah, and the cup is Neshamas Yisrael, is Yidin. And when you put Torah into a Yid, the Yid doesn't just take the Torah, he procreates, he makes new Torah. And he brings Torah to a level which is higher than the level Torah was on its own. So you've got, in effect, at least four. That means you can break it up into five, but let's say four. Number one, page Gimel, which is going to continue on page Tess, and then you bathe in your Gimel. The relationship between a husband and a wife, she doesn't just take, she takes and she gives. Number two, the power of speech versus the ideas or the feelings, that when you put it into words, which are the makabel, they give you something. They don't just take, not just passive. You benefit by speaking. Sometimes it's good to talk to yourself. Make sure no one notices, because it's just not good for your image. That's like for page Gimel to the bottom of Vav. And then you can have a mashal from Eidus and Kalim, which is at the bottom of page Vav till sort of the end of the first Maimon, and then beginning on page Yud Gimel till Yud Zayin, and then a mashal of Teir and Yud. So what is the reason for this two Maimon digression? Why does the Rebbe waste two Maimonim before he gets to the point? Because he wants to explain to you the Medrash in all of its details. There's a world. The world was created originally with Midas Hadin. Then the Eibishter saw that this world is not going to last, so he had a Midas Rachman. He says, before I talk to you about Din Rachman, I want to talk about the world. You have to know that the world is not just sitting there getting Rachmanis and getting Din. If you read the last few lines on page Beis, you see that he brings Machlekes and Medrash. Medrash is Chalukas. One Medrash says that the Moshlof case goes on Yidin, right? And the second Medrash says that no, the Moshlof case goes on the world B'chal. But whether it goes specifically at right the bottom of page Beis, right? You have it? In the bottom of page Beis, it says, V'zeu Ian Kaysis Dakim, six lines from the bottom, yeah? Vikira Kabbalah Bechina Sessi Srola Elishim Zola Matah, that's one source, and that's Vikira from the Kabbalah, from the Me'eriye and from the Zayat. U'bemedri Shamar Al-Briya Selim Bechlau, that the world in general is considered a Kais. So whether you're narrowing it down that the Kais goes on Yidin, or you're broadening it, the Kais goes on creation, what you have to understand that when this Medrash uses the illusion of Kais, it doesn't mean something you're putting something into. That's nonsense. That's not a useful muscle. And the Medrash is Teira. And because the Medrash is Teira, it's B'tachal Shadiq, it's absolutely exact. So the Rebbe says, what is the intent of the Medrash? To explain to you that we're talking about a category of cup that takes and gives. The beauty of this Inyan is going to be that the Rebbe is going to say that the cup that takes is arguably giving more than it got. It's not Stamazeh that you have a cup, you put something into it and it gives you something back. It's even possible that the makabel is going to give you more than the mashpia gave it. You're going to put certain entity into a cup, yeah? You're going to take ideas and put them into words. A man brings home stuff from work and he gives it to his wife and she's going to cook it up, to use that analogy. Yeah? Or she is not only giving back, it's possible that she's giving back more than she got. Right, we'll get that in a moment. So in other words, the analogy of kais is deep. It's not just exact, but it's deep. We're not just talking about some putting stuff in a cup. We're talking about putting stuff into a kale, and the kale is going to reciprocate, give it back. Yeah? And it's even possible that the kale should give back more. Now, how is that possible? How is it possible that Rebbe should talk to his Talmud, and the Talmud should give back more than the Rebbe had in the first place? And the answer is because it's one of the most elementary teachings of Hasidus is that whenever you talk about Seder Hishtalshlus, there is this phenomenon that's called Choisim HaMishapik. What does Choisim HaMishapik mean? Does anybody know? Have you come across the expression? My last year's boys heard it to me more than once. What's the metaphor of Choisim HaMishapik? What's Choisim HaMishapik? The Reis Levi Yitzchak. But if you have a stamp, yeah, that's protruding, protruded, it's sticking out, and you push it into clay, what's going to happen? It's going to create an intrusion. Or if you've got a stamp that's intruded, you're going to press it against clay, it's going to create a protrusion. But it's always going to be the opposite. If the stamp is pushing out, So as it's going to push into the clay, the part that was poking out the most is going to be poking in the most. It's going to be inverted the most, right? And the part that was poking out the least is going to be inverted the least. Isn't that logical? Everything is going to be backwards. When you take a stamp and you press it into something, the image you get is going to be exactly the opposite. What does that mean? That whatever is higher in Ishtashalus is lower in its source. Or alternatively, the lowest thing to the highest source. If something came down to the lowest level, it's a similar to the higher Shadish. A Keli, a Kois, is a Makabal. Its Shadish is higher than the Mashbiyah. A woman's Shadish is higher than a man. Words have a higher Shadish than the ideas that you're putting into them. Kalim have a higher Shadish than the Eidah you're putting into them. And Yidn have a higher Shadish than the Teidah you're putting into them. I'm going to say that one more time, okay? Not only is the marshal of Kais exact, we're not talking about a cup, we're talking about a Makabal who's also giving back. But moreover, the Makabal is giving back more than he got. How can you be a Makabal and give you a Mashpia more than the Mashpia gave you? Because your Shadish is higher. The Shadish of the Kli is higher than the Shadish of the Eid. The Shadish of Yidin is higher than the Shadish of Teira. The Shadish of a woman is higher than the Shadish of a man. And the Shadish of words is higher than the Shadish of ideas. One second. Yeah? So Ebezei, wouldn't the Mashpia in the first place? If the Makabal has a higher Shadish than the Mashpia, so forget the Mashpia. What do you need a man for? What do you need ideas for? What do you need light for? And what do you need a Teira for? A woman should be able to do more than a man. She can do more than a man. Words can do more than ideas. Kalim can do more than Eid. And Yidin can do more than Teira. And the answer is that the deepest koyachas of the Eibishter come into the world in what's called koyach ne'elam. The deepest things that Hashem put into the world are hidden. And it has to be that way. Because if they would be revealed, they would have to be limited. For Hashem to sneak in infinite things into the world, he's got to hide them. And therefore, the Keli, the Kois, as it's called in the Latin, the Makabal, has a higher source than Mashpia, but its source is concealed. To reveal the Shadish of the Kois, to reveal the Shadish of the Makabal, you need a spark plug, you need something to inspire you, to strike it, to initiate it, to elicit it, to bring it out. And that's why you have Mashpia. What do you have to have a man? To reveal the koyach of a woman. Her koyach is greater, but her koyach is hidden. Why do you have to have ideas? To reveal the koyach in words. Words have a higher koyach than ideas, but it's a hidden koyach. Why do you have to have light? To reveal the koyach that's in Kalim. Why do you have to have Torah? To reveal the koyach that's in Yidin. Menachem Mendel Sashtanen? Rabbi Shmuel, yeah? Question. Does someone have a hand raised? What was the question? Yeah, well, there's two expressions. One expression is not chalasa b'seifim b'seifim chalasa, and the other expression is seif ma'ase b'machshava tchila filu yaseh mibnei sham espasha. These are two expressions found in Chassidus, and Gerade, it's an ayin bay, because Maimon from the Rebbe, where he explains that these are two levels, and how seif ma'ase b'machshava tchila is even higher than not chalasa b'seifim. Chais ma'misapach, yeah. That's the mashal. Chais ma'misapach is the mashal for the concept. Not chalasa b'seif, seif mitchalasa says in Sefer Yetzirah. Yeah? Seif ma'aseh b'machshavah tchila says where? Anybody know where does it say? Huh? In Siddur. That's the source of it. Rav Shlomo Alkevich. He lived a day before that. He was a Rebbe of the Ramak and Kabbalah. He wrote the Lechot Deidi. Misnagdim zog b'seichet. That's very interesting. Misnagdim always complained about Pesach. This business of doing things up in Kabbalah. I haven't met a Misnagdim doesn't say Lechot Deidi. 500 years ago, nobody, Lechot Deidi didn't exist. Chodeji is a new tefillah. It was made in the time of Ariza, a little bit before. In the Gan Tevel, that's Lechodeji. Seif Mais, Machshavat Chil is written in that, in Siddur. And in Maimorim, usually say it's the same thing. Not Chosim, but Seif, Seif Mitchilosim. And Seif Mais, Machshavat Chil is something. But the emphasis is, Seif Mais, Machshavat Chil is a little bit deeper. And if you want to learn about it, I'll tell you where to read it, but don't ask any questions. Okay, does anybody have any comments or questions? Okay, so what did we, huh? The Makabal has a higher Shadish. He has a higher Shadish. When the Mashpia gives the Makabal, so first of all, he's giving him something, but when he gives him sparks the revelation of the Shadish of the Makabal himself, once the Makabal Shadish reveals itself, the Makabal has more than the Mashpia ever could have given him in the first place. So without the Mashpia, the Makabal is dormant. With the help of the Mashpia, it sparks the Makabal. It brings out the Shadish of the Makabal, which is higher. No, it's okay. Puzzles to me. Any other questions? Okay, that means everybody understands, right? No, I'm going to read you something. Okay. Not that much luck. You know what I'll do? I'm going to start from Obi and Amoshel. Okay? It's about a little bit past the middle of the page. The line that begins with the word Ella, you see it? It's two lines beyond what would be the midpoint of the page. At the end of the line, Obi and Amoshel. You have the place? You have the place? Yitzchak, you have the place? Page base? The line that enters the word Hamoshel. You see a line that enters the word Hamoshel? It's a little bit half beyond the midpoint of the page. You have it? Good. You have it? So that Rabbi Obi and Hamoshel, before we address the issue of Miz Din and Mitzarachma, I want to explain to you the Moshel. And it takes him 2 Maimorim to explain the Moshel alone. And the point again is for the fourth time is, don't see Kais as passive. The Kais is a Makabal Tosar Mashmir. Log the Rebbe Din Yedua, it's known, the Bechinas Malchus Nikra Kais, that Malchus of Atzilus is called Kais. And when the Medrash says Kais, it doesn't mean a physical cup, and physical hot water, and physical cold water, which by the way, Binyamin, would resolve the problem of how cold water makes glasses dirty. Because you're talking about a Ruch Nizdika cold water, and a Ruch Nizdika cup. And the cup is Malchus of Atzilus. Shalzeh Kais Yeshua. He says that I will lift up a Kais, a cup of Yeshua, of salvation. With David HaMelech, David Omar Zeh al-Bechinah, so David HaMelech said this about himself, Shu Bechinah Smachas, level of Malchus. Kais is Malchus of Atzilus. Yeshua is a very high level in Kesed. Some of you may have come across the concept of Shin Ayin Nehaden. What's Shin Ayin? 3 times 100 and 7 times 10, right? That's the Gimel Moichin and the 7 meters, Shin Ayin. 300 is 3 times 100, that's the Chalchok Meredas times 100. And Ayin is 70, is the 7 meters times 10. So he wants to lift up his cup, which is Malchus, all the way to the level of Yeshua. The David Omar Zeh al Bechinas Shkhanas Amalas. Ukadi Sabazeh, Yerbagdom, Daf Alaf Amad Alaf, the Zeh brings the Pasuk, case Yeshua says. I grab that at the beginning of the Zeh talks also about the idea of a Shoshana, of a rose. Mahal Techenchei Shalom. Yes, he brings on the idea of a rose. It's in the same Shtik of the Zeh. Uvapash, Rezvayichi, Daf Rishna, Amad Alaf, Vakamam Akemis. Says the Rebbe, Visham Bapashas Vayechi, in the Zayin of Pashas Vayechi, it says another thing. In addition to a cup going on Malchus Atzilus, it says, Knesset Yisrael Mitzrayim Kais. Specifically, Knesset Yisrael. What's Knesset Yisrael? The collection of Jews. Does anybody know where Jews are all collected? Or let me be sarcastic for a moment. Does anybody know where Jews all get along? The Malchus of Atzilus. Over there, it's Alf Mercedes. We have to bring Malchus of Atzilus down, like it says in Tanya Pedek Lamed Beis. Right? But the Knesset Yisrael are all getting along. Shalom Yisrael. Called the collection of Jews. So Knesset Yisrael in the crime, Keis Shabracha, the cup of blessing called it. Now, Uber Me'ereyed. Now for those who don't know what Me'ereyed is, I've seen the Me'ereyed, I don't own it. It's hard to get a hold of. The Me'ereyed is a Sefer of Kabbalah, which is a de facto dictionary. What is a dictionary, Rabbi Isai? It's a book that explains words in alphabetical order, right? Is that complicated? No, right? The Me'ereyed is a dictionary. But it's not a dictionary that translates words, it's a dictionary that explains the words of Kabbalah. And there happen to be a number of Kabbalah dictionaries. There's a sefer called Kehilas Yankev, which we have. It's a big book. And it was made, you should know, by a big lam, the Malay Adem, a big lam, a big bal nigla. And he lived in the middle of the Rebbe, he was a big chassid, a big makovul also. And he wrote a sefer Kehilas Yankev, and the Rebbeim quote the Kehilas Yankev a lot. There was also a sefer called Erki Akinuyim, the Chiel Halpinen, the one who made the Seder Adedis, was also a bal makovul. And he wrote a dictionary called Erki Akinuyim. In addition, you have also the Erki Akinuyim in the Padres. The Padres has a whole shah called Erki Akinuyim, a bunch of translations of words of Kabbalah. The Me'ereyed is also such a dictionary. And in the Me'ereyed, Ois Chof, right? Does anybody know why it's Ois Chof? I'm being stupid with you because I want you to think. Why? Because it's Kais. Ois Chof, Sifcha Falev, Kost of Kais, Nikra, Yesod, the Nukva. The Yesod, the foundation of Malchus. Nukva, feminine as Malchus. Now the basic point that I say is Azoi. Has anybody ever heard the beard on the pasuk Ve'emuna kol zois v'kayim aleinu? Anybody come across that in Chassidus? Ve'emuna kol zois v'kayim aleinu? Nobody, huh? Either didn't hear it or forgot it. Zois is feminine. V'kayim is masculine. Right? Zois is, what's the masculine? The masculine for zois is zeh. Right? V'kayim, it doesn't say v'kayemis. Ve'emuna kol zois. So you say v'kayemis aleinu. Why do we say v'kayim aleinu? So it's explained like this. Zois goes on Malchus of Atzilus. Malchus of Atzilus has two functions. It's a mashpia and it's a makabel. Now, which is a higher function, mashpia or makabel? Which is a higher function, to be a mashpia or makabel? Huh? Let me ask you a question. When are you in a better place? When you're standing by the Rebbe's Fabrein and listening to him speak, or you're going shlichus and you're teaching somebody else? When you're a makabel, you're connected to your mashpia. After you're a makabel, then you become a mashpia. So the pasuk says, v'emunah kozeis. First of all, makabel, machas v'makabel. V'kayim aleinu, machas becomes a mashpia. It's already the next level. So there's different levels in malchus. The idea that malchus is a makabel is higher and first before malchus is a mashpia. So he says, you should know, kais is malchus as a makabel. So it's yesoid of nukla. What does yesoid mean? The level before malchus. Malchus of Malchus is the way Malchus is a Mashpia. Yesed of Malchus is the way Malchus is still a Makabel. Kais means the way Malchus is taking, and after Malchus takes, it has what to give. It's not complicated, it's that simple. Yesed of Nukfa means the way Malchus is a Makabel. After Malchus is a Makabel, then it's going to be a Mashpia. Dolachain Kais Gimati Elikim. That's why Kais is the miracle equivalent of 86, which is Gimati Elikim. Why? Why is that? Because Elikim is Malchus. And Kais is Malchus. It's not fancy. It's really very simple. People are so afraid of Kabbalah, and I don't blame them. I'm also afraid of Kabbalah, because it's a lot of exotic words. But the concepts are actually more simple than the words. The words are very bumpy. You know, the words, we're just not familiar with them. He says, Kais is Malchus of Atilus. Specifically, Kais is Malchus of Atilus added to Makabal, before it's going to be a Mashpia. Elikim is Malchus. That's also true, but that's already a second point. Elikim is in Malchus. That's all. That's all you got to know. Says the Rebbe, not only is Yesed of Nukva called Kais, Malchus in general is a cup. Just like a physical cup is meant to put wine and water in it. It takes into itself. From the revelations of Eidus and the light, from the levels which are above itself. And he gives you one of the examples that he's going to mention later. Okay, Adiba, for example, Alderach Moshe Adiba speech. What is words? Hu hakli? It's the vessel. Shepein imshachem u'mislap shemkeches hanefesh techelumidus. Into speech you invest the faculties of the soul, your intellect, and your emotions. Okay, kein bechinas malchus. The same is true of malchus shenikra dibur ha'elyon. Hashem's speech. Hu hakli? It's a vessel. Shebar nimshach hashefa mikol esfir. All the nourishment, 10 spheres going to malchus. Now, what's missing here? What's missing here? Huh? You know what's missing in these last couple of lines? Anybody been here this morning? Baby, what's missing here? That after it takes, it gives. That's the key point. Malchus is a makabel, Kais is a makabel, but he's not a passive makabel. After he takes, it gives, and it's even possible that when he gives back, it's even more. So Kais is the stage, it's the arena, it's the place where Midas Adin and Midas Arachim play itself out. You could say it basically in two levels. Kais goes on Yidden specifically. Kais goes in the world as a whole. But whatever it is, whether you're talking about the Yidden, or you're talking about the world, when you plant this Midas Adin and Midas Arachim that we're going to find out about in the third Maimed, Kais is not just taking, Kais is also giving. Questions or comments? Okay.